This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We may think of unicorns as fanciful beasts from mythology, but ancient Greek writers believe those fanciful unicorns were very real, and they lived in what was, for the ancient Greeks, far-off India. You could argue that research scientists today chase unicorns. If they're able to prove the existence of some myth, they could make the world a better place. Michigan State University plant biologist Maren Friesen is doing that, and what she's finding in her research could ultimately have many, many positive consequences. Maren Friesen's with us now. Good to have you with us, Maren.
Hi, good to be here.
What was your personal unicorn that you were chasing?
So this was a bacteria called Streptomyces thermoautotrophicus, and the really, really cool thing about this bacteria was that it was supposedly able to fix nitrogen in the presence of oxygen. The reason that this is really exciting and novel is that all of the well-characterized enzymes that fix nitrogen, so they turn atmospheric nitrogen into ammonia, basically fertilizer that plants can use. So all of the known enzymes are actively poisoned by oxygen. One of the goals of synthetic biology right now is to try to transfer novel capabilities into plants. Plant cells have really high levels of oxygen inside of them, and so this oxygen would poison the traditional nitrogenase enzymes, but this sort of mythical novel enzyme, if it was real, would present this really sort of game-changing technology.
And I guess, yeah, I'm trying to get the sense of why it was worth it to prove this existence of bacteria that could fix its own nitrogen. What could that ultimately mean?
There are a lot of bacteria and also archaea that fix nitrogen in the environment, and there are a lot of really important crops that associate with bacteria that can do this. So things like soybeans and alfalfa have bacteria called rhizobia that colonize the roots. The plants have these really specialized mechanisms that basically bind the oxygen present in the soil. So they make these molecules that are similar to the molecules in our blood. They're called legume hemoglobins that prevents the oxygen from poisoning the nitrogenase in these bacteria. So we know that there are these interactions that exist. The really cool and novel thing about the Streptomyces thermoautotrophicus was that it was supposedly able to do this with enzymes that worked in the presence of oxygen.
Had this been something you had kind of heard about and people had posited that this kind of bacteria existed that could, you know, basically fix its own nitrogen? And then did you have to go on a quest to find it?
Yeah, there were a few papers published in the 90s from a group in Germany that demonstrated the existence of this novel organism, and they did some biochemical assays that pretty strongly suggested that it was able to fix nitrogen when oxygen was present. But at the time our project was funded, we were not able to obtain this original isolate, so that led us to go out and seek new isolates related to this original one that was in the literature.
So you go into Germany and you went to Pennsylvania, and was the whole idea that these underground coal fires were burning for decades?
Yeah, so in Centralia, it had been, I think it was the mid-50s, where there was some kind of human incident and the underground coal seam caught fire and has been burning ever since then. Yeah, and then our collaborators went to Germany near the site where the original strain had been isolated. The reason that we were targeting these extreme environments is because Streptomyces thermoautotrophicus, or S-thermo, as we call it for short, grows really well on carbon monoxide as its energy source. And so instead of feeding it sugar, we basically, in the lab, feed it this toxic gas, and that's how it makes its living.
It's a tough little critter. What would this ultimately mean in terms of using nitrogen fertilizers?
Yes, if we were able to engineer plants in a way that they could fix their own nitrogen, then we would not need to burn fossil fuels in order to fertilize our crops. They would basically be able to access this huge pool of nitrogen gas that's in the air all around us, and we wouldn't have to apply chemical fertilizers to meet their nitrogen demand. This would be really huge for places where nitrogen is limiting, such as Africa, and it would also be, I think, really important for places where nitrogen fertilizers are overused.
Such as Lake Erie, when we talk about what's going on in Lake Erie right now with the cyanobacteria blooms.
Yeah, and so if we, instead of dumping chemical fertilizers on our crops in Michigan, if we could just plant crops that fix the right amount of nitrogen, then we wouldn't have all of this nitrogen waste going out into the environment. So we were all a little bit disappointed when we got these new strains and they turned out to not fix nitrogen. But it sort of really reinforced for me the importance of reproducing other people's results, and especially, you know, these potential really game-changing results in technologies. Even though it turned out ultimately to be a negative result, you know, it really sort of speaks to the power of the scientific method. Ultimately, what it did was save a lot of other people a lot of time. You know, if it were true, it would be a really big deal.
Maren Friesen, a Michigan State University plant biologist, sharing that work that we often don't get a chance to really appreciate, that the years and years of people like you working in laboratories can lead to the big aha moment. But it does not come overnight, not by a long shot. Maren, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great.